Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it.
It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team and every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
In a shocking turn of events.
Man.
And it's crazy that Pat had that up his sleeve the whole time because he sat there and he let me think that he was on my side.
Jeez.
And I don't know if I talked him out of him. I don't know if I talked him out of it, but I did not see that coming, Pony. I thought both you on my side and Pat jumped ship. But you got to keep him honest. You gotta keep him honest in the NFC South, man. We cannot get content. If we would hear that both the First and Pod hosts were on our side, we might get too content. So glad you're keeping us honest there, Pat. They're glad. So Baker is kind of shooting up boards in the MVP race. Good for him. For a young quarterback kind of proving himself later in his career to an older quarterback trying to hang on a little bit. Joe Flacco went to Cincy and made a start for the Cincinnati Bengals and almost had one. The Packers hold on for a win. But what did we think of Joe Burrow's first start as a Cincinnati Bengal?
You mean Joe Flacco's first start?
Joe Flacco.
For them to put Joe Flacco in this game and go out there and throw the ball 45 times is outrageous. But that's something that they had to do because they don't have a running back. You know, nope. I mean, I know Chase Brown is there, but hell, even when Joe Burrow was there, he was averaging 9 carries a game, and that's what he had here today. But I was impressed, honestly, man. Joe Flacco went out there and played manageable football. He gave his team an opportunity to win that game. It just came down to the defense, you know, wasn't able to get the costly stops that they needed. And the thing about Green Bay is that, you know, when Jordan Love is in, you know, in his bag, when he's not, you know, playing that careless football, they do a really good job of answering when the team starts to apply pressure to them, you know, and I believe that's something that they're going to have to continue to thrive at as the season continues to move forward, because, you know, there's going to be times to where you play a Rams team, or, you know, I know they already played Philadelphia, but, you know, a Philadelphia Eagles team to where, oh, no, they did not play the Eagles yet. But you're going to play these, you know, top teams in the NFC to where you're going to need to answer. And I believe that's something that I can build off of watching them, that they do a great job of answering when they need to. But, yeah, the Bengals defense couldn't stop the Green Bay Packers when they needed to. And I was impressed with Joe Flacco, the way he performed in this game, you know, having two touchdowns, 29 of 45, just to have 45 throws and as his first start getting at Wednesdays. I'm telling you, that's still just mind-blowing to me. But 200 yards and two touchdowns, man, I thought he played well enough to give his team an opportunity to win that ball game. But again, the defense can't stop anyone, so that's why they lost.
The Packers still don't look like the team that was so dominant the first two games of the season. They're still trying to find that that game again, where their defense was incredibly dominant and Jordan Love was playing flawless football and getting everybody involved. He threw a unacceptable interception on the opening drive of this game where he forced a ball in there. And those are the types of plays that Jordan Love makes too often as a quarterback. And it's the one thing that's keeping him from becoming one of the elite quarterbacks that we see in the NFL, like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. As far as Flacco goes, you know, he did not throw an interception and he really didn't take a lot of sacks in this game. He got pressured, but he did a good job of throwing the ball away or getting rid of it before they got home to put the Bengals in situations where it was second and forever and third and forever. I thought he looked in the first half like a quarterback that was in a new offense. They did almost nothing for the first 30 minutes of the game. It was mostly three and outs. I think they had one first down to T. Higgins and that was it. And then I thought in the second half, you know, he made, especially in the red zone, his two touchdown passes could not have been better throws. Yeah, in tight, tight, tight quarters.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we couldn't hear you there, Pat.
Oh, my bad. I said, yeah, those were some awesome throws. Tight windows, back of the end zone where only his guy can get it. Those were some vintage Joe Flacco throws right there.
So, I mean, maybe it's something for them to build off of, because all they've been asking for from their quarterback is to not give the ball away three or four times a game. And Joe Flacco in game one managed to not do that. And I do think their defense still did not play a good game. But it was one of the better games overall their defense has played all year, which is a very low bar to clear. But they didn't give up like 40 points to the Packers, which was entirely possible when you looked at the matchup on paper in this one.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I texted in the group chat. I was like, man, the other Joe Cool might have Green Bay Packers number.
Yep. One and one against him now.
Almost. He almost did it. It would have been a very alarming day for the people in Green Bay if Joe Flacco showed up there less than a week of practice and beat him in Lambeau. There would have been some alarm bells ringing for sure for the Packers. But we'll stay in the AFC South on our focus because it's the worst six – or AFC North, sorry. It's the worst six-game stretch, worst six-game start in Baltimore Ravens history. They are 1-5. They lose to the Rams yesterday. Do they look any better this week without Lamar? And for the Rams' point of view, after that game yesterday, do you come away confident as a Rams fan or a Rams supporter? But first, the Ravens and Lamar.
You said, what was the first part of the question?
Did it get any better for the Ravens, even without Lamar?
Defensively, not offensively. You know, we had an opportunity to see Derrick Henry, you know, end up eclipsing over 100 yards without Lamar. But no, the offense is still status quo. You know, Lamar Jackson is, you know, the engine to that offense. Everything runs through him. You know, all the big plays, the extended time. Like, he has, you know, the best understanding or the best grabs for the, you know, for that offense in Todd Monken. You know, they have a really, really good relationship. And when he's in the lineup, like I said, they average, you know, 30 points a game. You know, that's just a fact. But the defense did play a lot better. I was expecting the Rams to go in there and put on an offensive clinic. That did not happen. We know Puka Nacua ended up getting hurt in that game. There's a lot of – I don't know if the road trip had anything to do with it, but a lot of miscues, especially in the first half. A lot of drop passes by, you know, the big-time playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And it just seemed like they were, you know, a little jet lag, you know, in the first half. In the second half, they kind of got it going, you know, making a couple plays here and there, but the Baltimore offense wasn't good enough to keep applying pressure to this Rams offense because, like I said, the defense played way better than they have in the last, you know, this whole season. This probably was the best defense performance that they had, you know, all year. So, and not able to have the offense to be able to, you know, have at least a good enough performance to put, you know, more points on the board. But like I said, would have probably put some pressure on the Rams because they were leaking heavily, you know, as that game continued to go on. So, yeah, I was impressed with the Baltimore defense. I'm probably holding my breath as a Rams fan because of the way that the Seahawks are playing and the injuries that we're dealing with right now. I don't really have a really clear understanding, you know, what the time frame could be for their star receiver, because we know with Puka Nacua in this offensive lineup, this is a very, very dangerous football team. And when he's not in the lineup, they look a lot different. So, I'm holding my breath if I'm a Rams fan off the simple fact that the Seahawks are playing some unbelievable football right now and the injury situation that our team is dealing with right now.
Yeah, I thought that the Rams really to only score 17 points after what Houston did in there is a head scratcher. You know, if you're a Ravens fan, I do think you can find a silver lining in this loss, which is crazy. You're 1-5. You lost the game by 2 touchdowns. You were non-competitive. But if I would have told you before the game the Rams would have scored only 17 points, you'd be thrilled with that. If Lamar Jackson played in that game, the Ravens would have won for sure. So, and look, it does come with a little bit of a grain of salt because of the Puka Nacua injury. But still, I mean, this is a big, big, big improvement from their defense. But it is just absurd to me that you don't have better offensive play when your backup quarterback's in there. We see teams around the NFL who lose starting quarterbacks, and whether it's Mac Jones who goes in, whether it's Carson Wentz who goes in, we see teams that are able to at least put forth decent offensive showings with their backup quarterbacks. And this team with Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, their tight ends, they've got a highly paid offensive line to just revert to this where they can't even score a touchdown in a game. Like, it would make me question my offensive coordinator. It would make me question everybody else and make me think, all right, is the only reason why we're good Lamar Jackson? And if that's the case, like, how important is everybody else here? They're all, to me, disposable at that point. If this is how we play without Lamar Jackson, it's all him. And that's not good, I think, for their offensive coaches and for their offensive personnel where they're that dependent on one guy, but clearly they are when you score only 3 points in a game like this. Mac Jones, a backup quarterback, just torched the Rams defense, Pat.
I know. I saw it in LA, La La Land, overtime, La La Land. Big win.
Gotta hope that Cooper Rush can do a little bit more for that offense. We'll see.
Nah, they need to go. They need to keep Tyler Huntley in there.
Keep Snoop in there.
They need Lamar Jackson to play after the bye week is what they need.
Yeah. They need Rush that too.
For Snoop in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they need Lamar back, but this is the closest thing that you can possibly get without Lamar. Far as you can still run your offense, he's going to create time. You can still have that RPO action in the backfield because he's not Lamar Jackson with his legs, but he still can impose that threat that he can run the football. I just think they have to keep Tyler Huntley in there because that's how this team is built, off RPO. Yep. And they're not built to drop back and pass and, you know, seven-step drop backs and, you know, quick game, this, that, and other. No, this team is built off RPO, and they have to put a quarterback that fits that, you know, that scheme, and Snoop does.
And tell him, Pat, he got a Pro Bowl off that season.
He do. Hey, I don't give a damn how he got it.
Yeah, he got a Pro Bowl off that season. From 1-5 to 0-6, we'll continue the theme of I can't believe this team had a chance to win the game. The New York Jets had a total passing yardage accumulation of negative 10 yards.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No, I didn't know that was possible. But Pat had a chance to win the game at the end. And if the Jets would have won with negative or two or three passing yards, it probably would have had if they were able to win the game. With less than 10 passing yards, we would have had to put it in the hall just for something. But what's that to say about both teams? That the Broncos on defense held the Jets to a historically low passing game but almost lost the game. What does that say?
I'll let you take this one, Bonnie.
Well, it says that the Broncos offense with Sean Payton and Bo Nix in year two has not taken the steps that they thought it would. I mean, their run game has actually been their calling card on offense this year, which it was not for Sean Payton's first 2 years there. He never had a 100-yard rusher in any game in his first 2 years. And J.K. Dobbins has come back from injury and has played very well. They have an excellent offensive line, so it's not the line's problem. And so that has been the strength of the offense. Bo Nix, as a passer, has not taken a step forward. And I thought that their lack of weapons was going to be a problem in the passing game. And I think outside of Cortland Sutton, they don't have guys who we can consistently get the ball to get open. Now, as part of that, the scheme, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like, and we see it play out on the sidelines, it just seems to me like Bo Nix is not making the right calls, not making the right decisions. And you see the frustrations boiling over from Sean Payton there, who's trying to be patient with his quarterback, but he also knows that the plays that he's asking his quarterback to make are just not being produced consistently enough. Good thing they have the NFL's best pass rushing defense with the most sacks in the NFL sack leader. Because if not for that, they would have had one of the most embarrassing losses of the NFL season on Sunday, where that safety that the Broncos had laid on a holding penalty in the end zone might have been the reason why they lost. So, I don't think it would have been a very – if I was an offensive player coming back from Denver, I don't think that would have been a very relaxing flight all the way from London to Denver, because – I would be thinking to myself, we won the game, but as an offensive unit, we had almost nothing to do with it. I would have felt like we lost the game, actually, Pat. And now that the Chiefs are back in the AFC West, like, would not be a good feeling if I were a Bronco player right now.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about London. It just seemed like teams can never really get their offensive mojo going, or it just seemed like it's always a little slow starting, you know, for offensive teams over there, because defenses seem to always play well over in London. I don't know what it is, but it is what it is. So I think with the Broncos, they was taking their shots, because I had an opportunity to watch this game. They were taking their shots. It just kept getting killed with penalties, self-inflicted wounds, and the Jets played some really good defense for the most part throughout that game, taking away the big shots, because Sean Payton was dialing up some plays now. You know, the Jets just did a great job of, you know, preventing those plays of happening. Like, I remember in the first half, I think he took, you know, they haven't really been completing, you know, deep passes throughout the season, but they was taking those shots. They, He tried Sutton a couple of times. He tried Mims on a cross country, you know, one time, you know. So they was trying to apply pressure. It's just the Jets did a great job of forcing them, you know, with those long foul balls or checkdowns or incompletes or whatever the case may be. And to the Broncos defense, they are very fortunate to have, you know, that defense and be playing against the New York Jets and Justin Fields because, you know, for the most part, like we always talked about, Justin Fields always been like, this is what we've been hearing. And Now it's been showing that he has been like this throughout, you know, training camp because last week he had over 200 yards passing. Then he come back into this game only having 45 minus 10, you know, as a team. That's just something that's just a head scratcher to me, to where you can go out one week and do this, and the next week you can have, you know, only 45 yards. I believe they had more penalty yards than passing yards. You know what I mean? So that is
when just you take the sacks into account, they had minus 10 passing yards. It's the worst in a game since Ryan Leaf was the Chargers quarterback.
That was a horrible performance, especially the way. If your defense is giving you that type of performance, you have to be better. You have to give them more. You know what I mean? And they still, crazy thing about it, still had the opportunity to win this freaking football game.
They should have kicked the 60-yard field goal, my opinion.
They should have. I would have did it. I mean, you have nothing else to lose right now but another football game or going to overtime. You know what I mean? So I would have gave myself an opportunity to like at least put this sucker into overtime because of the state that our passing offense was in at that given time, you know. So yeah, Jets, sorry, still don't have a turnover, still don't have a win. Aaron Glenn, wish you nothing but the best, my guy.
I think the Jets did get a turnover in
the game. They got one early in the game.
NFL record, the longest a team has ever gone to start the season without getting a turnover. It took them to week 6 to get a turnover. But we say all of this, and they had an opportunity to win a game at the end. And you're right, Pat, with the way that kickers have been dialing up 63-yarders and 65-yarders this year, I might have to take my shot. So we will see how the Jets seem to bounce back and see what they can do. Let's go to your Steelers, Pat, because you nailed your best bet, and you said it yourself. You said Coach Tomlin's not going to allow a rookie quarterback to come in here in Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers, and you were right. So, Pat, how did the Steelers get it done in this game beating the Browns?
Just beat them up on defense, you know, winning situation of football, putting that team behind the sticks on first down and winning third down moments, and obviously keeping them off the scoreboard. You know what I mean? That's Pittsburgh Steelers football. We always talked about them stopping the run, creating turnovers, and playing manageable football on the opposite side of the ball. You know, they're going to win a fair share of their games. You know what I mean? They have a quarterback now, Aaron Rodgers, who's not going to turn the ball over. If he does turn the ball over, it's an almost inopinately that Aaron Rodgers threw a pick. You know what I mean? That's just something that he don't do. He's allergic to those. And when the defense is finally getting their mojo back, finally, you know, getting back in motion, and you have Jalen Ramsey on the same field as Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, and he had more sacks than both of those guys, that's a win. That's a win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. So Pittsburgh Steelers right now, they are in the driver's seat in this AFC North. I do see them, you know, continuing to do the things that they need to do to keep themselves there. I know the second half of the season, they're going to start playing, you know, a lot more competitive teams, a lot more playoff caliber teams. But like I said as well, they have a quarterback now who's not going to put their team in harm's way when it comes down to winning. And this is one of the guys who's probably the league's most prolific passer that we've ever seen, you know, with the football in his hands. You know, so right now, man, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a good spot. I'm happy to see, you know, Mike Tomlin finally got a quarterback that he can roll and trust in a football season. Now let's see what happens, you know, moving forward in this gauntlet part of the schedule that they're about to face.
I mean, look, the Steelers got a lead in the second half where they forced Cleveland to be one-dimensional with a rookie quarterback against that ferocious pass rush. So when that happens, you know, it's going to get ugly. But, you know, a big reason why I think they won this game is because Cleveland basically just abandoned the run. Now, it wasn't working, but what are your alternatives? You're going to ask Dylan Gabriel to throw the ball 52 times? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? It was 9-3 at halftime. Neither team had scored a touchdown. You've got Judkins. You bring, you know, do some things in the run game to try to win this game. They didn't turn the ball over, but still, I mean, Dylan Gabriel threw a bunch of balls that could have easily been intercepted. It's not like they have good receivers there in Cleveland either. So I just think sometimes coaches lose games, and I feel like Cleveland's strategy in this game was not very good. And then, you know, I give the Steelers credit on a couple of counts. Myles Garrett did practically nothing in this game. And that's a huge improvement for the Steelers' offensive line, which was such a issue early in the season. And then the new guys, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, are making plays with each other every week. And there was another touchdown in this game. So that's now four in a row for DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers. Four straight games with a touchdown. They've been big-time contributors. And you're right about Aaron, Pat. He does not turn the ball over. And I think Mike Tomlin believes with the defense he has, as long as his quarterback protects the football, they're going to have a chance to win every game.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And we all know these games, Pittsburgh like ugly games. They like close games because they feel like they're built for that better than any other team across the National Football League. You know, like I always talk about, when you watch a Pittsburgh Steelers game, at least towards the back half of the season, the game is always won or lost at the freaking goal line. And that's where practice starts with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Seven shots at the goal line. You know what I mean? Because Coach Tomlin knows 9 times out of 10, this is where the game is going to be won or lost. And he's always putting his team in the best position possible for when those scenarios, you know, occur, they're more than ready to be able to, you know, look and face that challenge, you know, and come out on top.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.